Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello, welcome to the Match Ball Live, brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan Moylan here with Michael Normanton and Moscow White as well. Daniel Chapman, Leeds 4, Bournemouth 3. Should say as well, website has just fallen over with demand. So what we're going to do is we're putting this one out public and live. Members, we will do you a bonus show through the week as well, an extra show to make up for... Well, whatever it is that we're making up for. Server being shit, website.
We're apologising for something, but we don't know what.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
The internet's to blame.
Yes. Here we are.
4-3.
Pick the bones out of that one. I don't know what to say about that.
It was a lot of
what
fun.
What a preposterous football club.
But I think we are still terrible. But fuck it, never mind.
I mean...
The happiness we were all looking for.
It's just stupid.
Well, it's fun. It was dead good fun. It was brilliant.
It's the most fun I've had inside Ayland Road for a bit. Last time I'll have fun in there before Christmas as well, so why not sign off on a... It's just, I don't know.
We almost got to do everything. You get to boo Marsh off and then cheer him off. So it's the best of both worlds.
Because I mean, in that start of that second half, we're 3-1 down. I'm like, right, surely you can't survive this. You know, they get through to the World Cup and he gets booted for this because he's pathetic. And then we do that.
And we looked, and we were well deserving of being 3-1 down as well. Like, it could have been... 3-4-1 at half time. There was that.
I really like the one where we let Kiefer Moore just control it on his chest in the 6-yard box.
Yeah, I mean, the fact
that Kiefer. Okay.
He completely mishit it, thankfully. But I turned away at that point. At the point he chested down, I was like, fucking scored.
And then as soon as
I looked down, it was just nestling in Melier's arms.
He's going to have a great World Cup, old Kiefer Moore, isn't he?
Just returning to one of our favourite themes on this show from months and weeks past. My dad left at 3-1.
Deary me.
And do you know what I said as he exited? I just tapped him on the shoulder and I said, you're going to miss the comeback.
Never leave. Maybe leave 5 minutes before the end, 3-1 down, not looking like we're going to score. Maybe. But still, don't risk it. How much of your day have you already committed to going to football? Your dad lives on the East Coast.
Well, that's it.
He's driven like an hour and a half. Just stay for another half hour.
Gets home sooner than, doesn't he? He can get his feet up in front of the old log burner.
Don't come in the first place if you're that bothered.
I know. I think just decades of this club have just worn him down to the point where nothing can prick the exterior anymore.
Which was the best goal that he missed? Greenwood's, Cooper's or Somerville's? Which one should you regret the most?
I was right behind Greenwood, so I enjoyed that. But at that point, we were still losing, so I was still quite angry. But I thought, nice finish, but fuck off. You know, that was kind of my vibe at that moment.
I mean, Somerville's was brilliant.
It was a beautiful moment. And the run to go across and little Willie.
It's
his birthday today, isn't it?
Star of the show in many ways. I know he didn't score, but he did, apart from anything else, brilliant through ball, good run. Did lots of other good things with the ball as well. His celebration for the goal is brilliant. You can just see him. He tries to catch Somerville and it sort of misses him, then ends up just rolling around on the floor. You can see him. You can just see him in the background.
Confirmed. I've checked Wikipedia. We know that's right. It's his birthday. It's his 19th birthday today, little Willie.
The other thing he did, which was brilliant, was at the end when sort of in the northeast corner, the keeper was trying to take a free kick and he was blocking it. Right, and then right up to the point where the keeper was about to boot it at him to try and get him booked, he sort of ran away from it and pretended he was never going to do it. And it really confused the keeper because he was like, well, do I kick it at him anyway, even though he's no longer in the way?
The other good thing, he was set down the wing in injury time as well. Everybody was screaming at him.
Corner! Go to the corner! Well, no,
there was the temptation to run for another goal because it replicated the way he'd set up the one up for Somerville. And instead, he just slowed everything down and jogged towards the corner. And if that's a 19-year-old, as of today, probably got a more sensible head on him than... like half the players we've been watching all the time. I can't remember which game it was, but you know, when it's been at the Jesse's like absolute nadir, which has been most of the
Fulham,
last
Palace.
3 months, but like that week, started thinking about how he gets out of this. And I think it was, I can't remember if it's when Nonto came on against Liverpool before he did anything good. In fact, no, because he came on, he did something good immediately, didn't he? And I think that's when, it doesn't matter when I had the thought. What if Willie Nonto,
talk about it more. Think about it out loud more.
We didn't want to sign, ends up saving the season.
Mm. Yeah.
He transformed that game today, didn't he? I thought.
Yeah, well, I think, I would say Greenwood probably did more because he scored and then he can actually take corners as well, which was a big help because we've not taken a good corner in what feels like months. And then that one just straight on Cooper's head at the back post.
I was going to say my favourite goal of them was Cooper's because he had really attacked the absolute bastard out of that ball.
Attacked the bastard out of it. It's a great turn of phrase. Doesn't that penalty feel like a lifetime ago now?
a lot has happened.
Let's do it Craig David style and rewind back to the start. Because that happened, and that happened within 50 seconds, wasn't it? That was given. And you thought, brilliant. We're finally just going to have one of those days where we get in front and win comfortably. That's what you thought is, isn't it? And then...
Did not happen.
Absolutely not, no.
Did you not?
Well, I thought Bournemouth at home, that's a game when you could do that.
Yeah, because 1-0 up inside 2-3 minutes, that then forces them to adapt their plan and start chasing the game. Mm. Worst thing that could have happened.
Exactly. That's why I didn't think, oh, we'll be home and hosed now.
That's how it turned out. I mean, but at 1-0, you're naturally going to think, oh, that's good. We've made a positive start. We've got the goal on the board that we always talk about. If we score early, scoring close to...
Like against Fulham.
Yeah, exactly that. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
It was a nice start, but no.
Don't you pretend you had wisdom about this, Moscow. Everyone in that stadium thought, oh, relief. Relief.
Well, I put another fiver on us at 2-1 down. I wish you'd done it at 3-1. But that's force of habit is I always chase the loss.
Which is a great, great model for any kids watching.
Yeah, anybody, don't take gambling advice from anybody unless it's don't do it.
So that happens, right? So we're 1-0 up inside, like, took like a minute for the penalty to get taken, didn't it?
Well, it was a lovely, it was good. Somerville took the ball down from a Bournemouth player, chesting it to him, which was nice. And then it's a great little lob over the top from Brendan Aaronson. And then run. And then who is he? He was Senesi. Stupid. Just barged him over. It was just wasn't even like a bad tackle or a ridiculous foul or anything. Just stupid dumbness.
Mm.
And I was glad we got the penalty for it. And then, yeah, good penalty.
In the comments on YouTube, Perlo's Beard asks, remember the bit where they had two players through on goal and our only defender was Somerville and it took a two-footed lunge from Melier to prevent another Bournemouth goal? Ah, good time.
It was exactly what happened against Fulham. We had a corner and then like 5 seconds later they were through on goal. And you're like, can we just stop doing this, please? Something is set up wrong if that has happened in two games in a row.
Our defending shit, isn't it?
It's fucking abysmal. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Things like that are out of choice, though, aren't they? That's the weird thing, is we decide to put all 11 players into the penalty area and just like Somerville, if they break, you're the one to try and get back. It's a choice.
Yeah, it was like Adams and Somerville are the furthest two back, and you contrast it with the way that Leeds used to get back under Bielsa, where you would see everybody, like seven men bombing back. Mm. Like, why aren't you all running more? Oh, Jesus.
I mean, the defending in general, though, is just atrocious. The number of times they hit, I mean, it happened in the second half as well, the ball that goes in behind the fullback that a team gets at least one chance every single game from. That happened in the second half and they put it wide. They dragged it wide. Didn't
they? Well, they scored from it in the first half.
Yeah.
From Tavernier. I don't know why Rasmus Christensen tried to block him the way he did, but he seemed to decide, it's like, if I go really slowly but try to like nudge him, that will stop him. Whereas Tavernier's just like, I think I'll just run, if that's all right, and run on the ball.
Should Melier have come out for that one?
No.
No? I wasn't sure if he should have. They were all sort of arguing with themselves. I noticed that for every Bournemouth goal, there was an awful lot of arguing.
It's a little bit of a habit after of every kind of player in that situation. If the winger or the fullback in this situation gets around you from a long ball over the top and you've been beaten, the next thing you'll do is you go, you should have come out for that. No, I thought that's why I didn't run, is I thought you'd be out. And then the keeper will say, me no.
I mean, for loads of that game, I mean, a really weird kind of, weird frame of mind. I can't pick it apart because objectively, I've just had a brilliant time watching us win 4-3. But the other part of my brain, the logical part of my brain is going, the tactics are awful. Defensively, we're awful. And yet I've had a really good day. But is, I guess, not.
Yeah, seven goals. I mean, if we win every game 4-3 between now and the end of the season, it's going to be one of the greatest Premier League title wins of all time.
Like, you know, we were crap going forward. Nobody could get, I mean, you saw the worst of Penis Ball. Saw the worst of Penis Ball. And then suddenly everything just started working. They all found like this extra spring in their step. You know when Marsh said the other week about, or maybe it was the other month that I can't remember, about a team looking like it was just waiting to lose? There was that air about it again. And then suddenly when we got that second goal back when Greenwood scored, that was Greenwood, wasn't it too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
suddenly they all just woke up and then like they believed they could do it. And you just saw the momentum swing. It's just, football's mad, isn't it?
What were you thinking when he brought Greenwood on? Because I thought, when he was Greenwood and Nonto, they didn't come on at the same time, did they? But they came on in fairly quick succession. And I was thinking, fucking hell, this is like last roll of the dice stuff, bringing a couple of kids on to try it and be like...
Can one of you just go
and fix this? And it turned out they both did. But I was thinking, I don't know. Not that Harrison was doing anything. And I'd have had Rodrigo off probably sooner than he took him off. But
Harrison in the first half was doing his thing. He gets into a trap sometimes of trying too hard. And again, it was, I don't think the tactics help him when he gets into that mood, because everything he's trying to do is pull off these really precise passes on the right-hand side of the pitch where the ball is, where there are 20 players. And then on the other side of the pitch, there's nobody. He'll look and go, can I pass? Oh, God. And so, no. And instead, he has to play like, some of the situations we get into on the ball are like the things that he used to, clips of Guardiola's Barcelona used to go around, where they'd all like ping 10 passes off each other around six players in about 20 yards of space. And then you'd go, oh, wow, how did they get out of that? But we get into that position and it's like Liam Cooper passes to Pascal Stroy. And it's like, no, lads, no.
I was going to say, because I mentioned on the Phil Hay show, I went to see Man City for the week at the Champions League game, just to see, you know, why are they so good? And we're not like, we're not watching football without any pressure attached to it.
Just to feel something different, like using the left hand.
But exactly. The weird thing was that I felt nothing. I felt absolutely nothing from it. But it seemed like most of the crowd felt nothing, even when they were winning. Mm-hmm. But that's a conversation for a different day. But I kind of came away from it thinking, do you know what the difference is? Like, they've just got loads of good players, better players than us in every position. Like, there were points when, in that first half, when passes were just going astray, you know, like, Somerville had lay it back to whoever was behind him.
Cock was weird today, wasn't he?
And they're just like, the balls are just like slightly underhit, overhit, not quite there. Like, when I watched Man City through the week, they were just pinging passes exactly perfectly. And I thought, that's the difference. It's a £50 million footballer in every position. Mm. That's the difference between them and us.
But did you notice Cock today? He just seemed to constantly misjudge passes. Like, they were always just off his toe. Like, he always thought, oh, I've got this. And then it got to him and he was like, oh, fuck. It's a bit further in front than I thought.
He was mostly fine, but when he managed to do two mistakes in a minute, all as part of one thing on the halfway, where he was like, he gave the ball away, got it back. We're like, phew, wow, that was close. And he just gave it to them again. We're like, Robin! Have you had a bet?
He did have a bang to the head, though.
He did. And yeah, so the elbow on that, let's see, because I had a look on the little television and more. It's hard to tell because it's not a big swinging elbow, but it's, and Moore has made sure that he's not, how I feel about it is I think Kiefer Moore is quite a canny character. So he's not looked at him and gone like, I think I'll get my elbow here.
But he knows roughly where his head will be.
And he knows that if his arm is like here, he doesn't need to do this to do any damage. He needs to just be like, so there's that little bit of...
It's an enjoyable video reenactment for anyone.
There's a little bit of an edge where I feel like Kiefer Moore kind of knew what he was about in that situation. But there was no swinging arm. There was no like big... smash in the face or
big
anything.
Big industrial elbow or anything.
But it was telling that Rodrigo was straight over to the fourth officials saying that was an elbow, and Robin Cock was not having any of the apology either. He was going over the sidelines and saying, he was laughing and slapping his elbow saying, look, if you didn't think that was worth something, because he didn't even get booked for it, did he?
I noticed the ref didn't stop playing, did he? Because they played on and then
I wondered at that point whether VAR in for a penalty as well.
Well, yeah. And now, there were two header injuries we had in the first half that he didn't stop play for. And then as soon as they had one in the second half, he stopped when we were breaking. I thought, fuck off. What are you doing?
This is Mr. Tony Harrington, who I don't really know much about.
Oh, there you go. The poet. No, not him. No. Harrison.
Oh, dear me. What a stupid day. What a brilliant ending that.
And so then, well, we got as far as, I mean, we've not even
Where
talked
are
about
we?
Their first goal.
I can't remember the first goal. I think I was thinking of the second goal.
The first one was when it was the usual goal, wasn't it, that goes over to the man who's spare at the far post. Was it that one?
Yeah, it was crossed from the right, and then Robin Cock has made a good defensive header. But as the ball has come in from the right, Christensen has moved into the six-yard box, and then Robin Cock has got his defensive header on it and headed it to the back post where Christensen is not anymore, where Tavernier is, and he volleys it in. So we always seem to be shortchanged there.
At the back post.
It's always the back. There is always a man over.
And it always seems
echoes
to be,
that goal at Leicester.
Yeah, it always seems to be Christensen going like, right, I have to move in here, and then whatever happens, happens.
That's why when we're actually protecting Lee, we bring Luke Ayling on, so there are two people there.
Yeah.
It seems to be the basic plan. But I think yeah, that's maybe we should just start trying to make sure there are people there from the start of games, because it's costing us quite dearly. But yeah, there was another time they got down the right. I can't remember now. I can't remember which half it was. It was in front of me, I think. But there's another time when that's the first half. Yeah. So it was crossing to the back post. And I was thinking, if it gets to the back post here, they once again have a free header. But I think as it was cut out. But fucking hell.
And the second goal, one of the funny things about the second goal, I've not seen what his starting position is, but there's a good replay of it where. Obviously, so it's a long ball over the top, and Tavernier beats Rasmus Christensen all day, has his shot, which is saved, and then passes it to Billing, who is coming in. Mm. And you can just see as Billing is like crashes it in the top corner, which is a really good finish. Sort of chasing after him, like with the Steptoe and Son theme music playing, as he's gradually trundling into shot. And I need to see where, like, how close he was to Billing when all that started, because. Stopping a runner from midfield in that situation would have been helpful to keep us at 2-1. 3-1.
Was that the one where he ran through from midfield? Was it to the edge of the box, that one? Is that the one we're thinking
of? Yeah, and then 3-1 is they just ran down the side of the pitch and scored.
Do you find... Yeah, and it was the finish, actually, when he kind of back-heeled it in, didn't he? Like, he let it run across his body.
My notes for the third goal, just put 48, in down right, cross, goal, wank.
Was that what you did?
No.
Do you find, like... when the opposition are coming through, and we concede these goals, that you can see them coming a mile off. Like, you think, why has nobody got him?
Well, it's just really simple. Yeah. Teams just score really simple goals against us, it feels like, this season. There's not, like, sometimes they play Man City or whatever, occasionally they'll score a goal where they'll carve something out beautifully. There'll be threaded passes, there'll be complicated interplay, there'll be a little dummy run, someone will step over a ball. It's just a real basic ball to the back post and you score against us. I think that's half the frustration of
Manchester
it.
City always look like they have to work really hard to get a player free.
Mm.
Whereas in our case, just like have two...
Just go in the box.
Have two on one side and Rasmus Christensen can't mark you both.
Why don't we like go touch tight when we're marking and things like that?
That was forbidden. Not allowed to man mark anymore, were we? So we've gone miles the other way. We're just not marking anybody at all.
But like in the zonal marking where you're supposed to still defend.
It up with Jesse.
You're still meant to have someone in the zones, I think is the idea with zonal marking. You don't just... Well, we're not marking that. We don't mark that zone.
Yeah, no, we don't. No, he's a man. We're not going to mark him. We're just going to mark the space.
Exactly. Well, it's how we've ended up just a complete 180 over the other, end.
Would you still sack Jesse?
Well, I don't know, because the other thing...
He asks laughing.
Because I think I still probably would.
Because the other thing with this is, like, we were told in, like, related to the marking thing, which I'm being flippant about, but we were told as well that this style of football was going to be a very easy, natural progression from everything that we used to do, so it won't be difficult. And yet he was still talking on Thursday of like, there are supposed to be three options when we attack, A, B and C, of how we go vertical, but they only ever pick A and I can't get them to do B and C. And it's like, Jesse, you've been here now since March, and I know it can take, like, not everybody can put a style of play in place perfectly within 6 weeks. But you were supposed to have the advantage of just being able to just make a few tweaks and then we're going to transform into everything he wants to do. And if he can't, he can't get us to mark defensively in a way that stops us from shipping three to Bournemouth, and then can't get us to attack more than one way. Like, he's managed to get the one, but hasn't got round yet, or hasn't managed to build up yet two and three, even when we had a month off with everybody as well. It does make you wonder at what point he is actually going to coach this team into doing the things he actually fully wants
us to
do.
That is the worrying aspect of it, isn't it? But, I mean, I guess we've got sidetracked on I don't know.
Well, we had to sum up all their goals, and now we can talk about ours, which were brilliant.
So that's the bigger problem, which still needs to be addressed. Because my worry with Marsh was he's all vibes and no tactics. And I feel like I've seen that again today, but it's good. And it's confusing me. Like, I've got so many opposite thoughts just firing off against one another.
Every sub he made improved us.
Yeah. So it got those aspects of it right, but
every sub he made was a bit like, Sam, but try some. Well, got any ideas?
I feel like that is the
Joffy.
I feel like that's the thing. We change personnel, but the ideas don't seem to change particularly. Yeah. It's just like you go on and do that in your own way, and maybe something different.
Well, we're talking about the style of football. And, you know, what we were saying about this scoring in bursts, and you kind of broke it down a little bit in the last couple of weeks, Moscow, that, you know, the tactics are about when you get in front, you then score again and again, you know, like in these little bursts, because he was talking about that. And that's basically what we did. We rode that wave and just we kept scoring after we'd let them score loads.
Yeah,
and we
scored more, and score loads.
And we scored more than them and we won.
I mean, Bournemouth do have form for this kind of thing. So they went up against Spurs and lost, didn't they, last week?
Good. So another thing...
They are a team that that do appear to panic a bit when they're in a league.
Let's turn it into praise for us, though, because they got themselves into the perfect position where of even after going behind, so it's sort of well done to them, I suppose, of getting ahead and then being able to...
I suppose.
...pack the defence and time waste, which has been the thing that everybody from Leicester to Crewe have made it really difficult for us to do all season. And despite that, we managed to score the three goals through that we needed to win. And so the substitutions, it's hard to know whether it's like, if I bring Greenwood on here, I think he'll score from 25 yards into the top corner. It would be amazing. Or if they are just a little bit, let's just hope Greenwood can do. But he is a more mobile player than Mark Rock. Has got the beautiful left foot. Sam Greenwood's got the running and two beautiful feet. And that goal is great. Like, I prefer Cooper's for the sheer just kind of full strength.
Attack it like a bastard.
Mm. But the way Greenwood sees that ball coming towards him and sets himself as if it's a golf shot that he's playing.
Yeah, there's a really good description. He almost just like thought, stop. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stop and I'm just going to put this in the net.
Reminded me of Rafinha's against Everton last season. That was from a similar sort of spot. Yeah.
And it will remind anyone who's seen Greenwood's goals in the under-23s, now 21s, of how he does that. He has done that a lot. And it's good when someone does something in the first team that they sort of made their name for in the under-23s. So hopefully Joffy will score from halfway at some point.
Yes.
That would be nice. But it was Sam Greenwood scoring a very Sam Greenwood goal is a good thing for Sam Greenwood and for us.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So that was 2-3.
It was.
Super duper Liam Cooper, who kept getting turned and having people running past him, scored the equaliser.
It's his life.
Did he score the equaliser there?
We know what he's like. And yeah, and it's a great equaliser. That was the Sam Greenwood corner as well. So Greenwood has, I know Somerville will be the headline act and Nonto was getting his name sung, but Greenwood has come on and sort of done all the stuff Mark Rocker should technically be doing, but he doesn't seem able to do for more than an hour. And then when he does, I wonder if on that second Bournemouth goal, if Sam Greenwood would have got back faster and stopped it from being banged into the top corner. But that's just speculation.
So the subs worked, the tactics worked, but only once we were 3-1 down.
Yeah, fighting just, back. And then,
absolute credit to him for that as
the
well.
The thing is, the Somerville one is a chance created, but I suppose you look at the others and it's all sort of chaos goals, aren't they? Like Somerville's against Liverpool was just a ball that Patrick Bamford miscontrols and we score from.
Will created that though by getting the cross in.
Yeah, I suppose so on that one. But it's just like the Greenwood one, it's just a ball that's come loose and he's scored and then a penalty and then, what was the other one?
A set piece. So it's a corner placed by Sam Greenwood right onto the 50 pence of Liam Cooper's head.
I feel like in open play, I don't feel like we're really carving much out. Like until we till Sam Greenwood scored, had we had another shot on target?
Oh, I don't know.
I felt like we didn't have any shots. We didn't test the keeper at all.
We just kept scoring. Instead of shooting, we just kept scoring.
Would you like to give Bournemouth all the goals back? Well, you'll be outside the Civic Hall tomorrow with a big banner saying, Bournemouth, we're sorry. You can have a... We'll have the... are we having the penalty? Can we have... No, you don't want the penalty.
It's a long way back
it's
to Bournemouth.
It's a 3-1 win.
Well.
A 3-1 win to Bournemouth because only our stunning 83rd minute goal counts. But even that, I mean, would we have scored that if Bournemouth hadn't been attacking a corner so much? Mm. So maybe we shouldn't just have that either.
Well, I think it was a free kick, which I didn't think was a free kick as well.
Okay.
The ref shouldn't have given them that free kick.
Why was it not a free kick?
I think Tyler Adams, I thought he got the ball. It's a bloody long way from where I sit, to be fair, so I've no idea. But I was cross about it at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I was cross about it at the time, and then we scored about a minute later, so I was like, ah, good.
There was a good Tyler Adams moment that people will have to try and find on the footage later. It's picked up on a replay. That their substitute who came on, who had a name like a sitcom, Jack, if his middle name is And, then Jack and Stacey, should be on the television, and they brought him on and he immediately had a shot, just ran past Strouk and had a shot that should have won the match. He fouled Tyler Adams quite badly, and then there was no card, and then there's a as he's walking past Adams, it's quite a low key, he just goes, fuck you. I think we were
winning.
There
was caught on camera, wasn't it? There's clips doing the rounds.
I'm not surprised. It was immediately like, that's the new Rodrigo shrug.
People in the comments were pointing out we did have four shots on target and we scored them all.
There you go. 100% efficiency,
brilliant.
That is good. I mean, that's how Bournemouth are as high in the table as they are. Good.
And actually, yeah. So for other chances, there was Rodrigo cut in from the right and he could have passed it. I know Brendan really wanted it and somebody else was running in on that side as well. But it did just, it like from the angle he was looking at, the corner opened up of the goal, the far corner. And if he hadn't ballooned it into the cop, it was a really tempting opportunity. So you couldn't really fault him for having a shot then. So that was all right. Brendan had a shot that got deflected and went over. And I think that was the corner we scored from.
I really like Tyler Adams. Can I just say, by the way, because he's tweeted out somebody who's posted a picture of, you know, when you get like on the Apple Watch or whatever, it's loud environment warning. Sound levels just hit 95 decibels. Just 10 minutes at this level can cause temporary hearing loss. And Tyler Adams has sent tweeted out saying, sounds about right.
It was pretty
loud. He loves it, doesn't he?
And then augmented by fireworks as well.
Yes. Yeah, just what a day. Absolutely exhausted day. So wait, have we arrived at 4-3 yet?
Well, we've not really talked about the fourth goal, but
no.
Wilf sprints with the ball from their attacking free kick and is, well, he's very good, isn't he?
Mm.
And then his through ball to Somerville is very good, and then Somerville does what you want Pat Bamford to do all the time, which is absolutely storm into the penalty area and crash the ball into the back of the net while the keeper's coming out to break you.
No.
I was going to say, we were walking down, Michael caught up with me when we were walking back down here, and we said, I wonder what Bamford had done there, trying to get it onto his left foot, bless him.
Well, he's
with his damaged hip
he's
now.
Broken his hip taking a penalty, so...
It's the thing you think...
They didn't say scoring a penalty, did they? They're just taking...
But didn't he take that well, and... Did you feel like at 3-3 you thought we're going to do this? Or were you still thinking it was in the balance?
I felt there was a chance in it for them as well. I don't know. I thought it could, even at 4-3, I was thinking there's probably one more opportunity for them, which I don't think there actually was.
Well,
at that point.
3-3 is when Jack Stacey came on and had his shot. So
such
we did
a Bournemouth name, isn't it, Jack Stacey?
It is. We had a great...
I thought that when he came on, yeah.
A great shot at losing it that way. And then it was pretty soon after that. Well, no, 10 minutes.
What a week.
But there wasn't a lot happening. Yeah.
3 goals in 3 games. I think it's, let's have a look. LUFC data on Twitter saying that he has become the youngest player at 21 years and 6 days to score in 3 consecutive Premier League games for Leeds since Alan Smith, blah, 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 scum bastards.
And they brought on someone called Rothwell, didn't they?
They did.
So there you go.
Joe Rothwell. It's worth mentioning, because people won't be happy about it, Rodrigo's massive strop, which was hilarious.
I didn't see that because he went off right by the cop, didn't he? Because it was the nearest exit.
And he stored it all the way around. And I don't have a... He threw his coat at the end and I don't... Coat abuse is fine. But the way he sort of staunchly ignored all of the West Stand clapping him off and going, well done, Rodrigo, well done. He's like, no, I have no acknowledgement, any of that. And then refused to shake hands with... Jesse, that was kind of like that, and then he got his coat, wanged it down the tunnel. and then threw himself into the dugout.
Not the behaviour of somebody that should be in the leadership group.
But then, when the when the winner was scored, he's one of the people comes absolutely charging out, and as Somerville slides one way, he slides on his knees towards him, and I think he might have clotheslined him.
But, Rodrigo?
Yes, but in like a really good way.
Right.
And there was a shot at the end. Obviously, Jesse Marsh went around the pitch at the end looking like probably the drunkest sober man.
he's got the acid wash jeggings on again today.
Yeah, and he was fully like, he's going to go and like punch a mirror or something. But him and Rodrigo were walking in front of the East Stand, like arms around each other, gripping each other like fucking men, doing men stuff and having like a real man time.
You see, so the comment, like, the post-match comments, recognises that winning dramatically is the Leeds way, but does not want the manic nature of these performances to continue. Wants to make it simpler. That's Popey saying that. We always want to be on the front foot and be the aggressor. Yes, I hope it doesn't continue this way. Yeah.
What was the name of the guy?
Was it not Somerville who sang that?
What was the name of the guy who had the who's had the bloody heart attack and the stroke and everything? Last week he was appealing.
He was 36, not 26.
Last week he was appealing for calm, wasn't he? Yeah.
And he's now 56.
Jesus, poor fella.
But let's just talk. Duncan Hamilton, by the way, in the comments here, saying did enjoy Lewis Cook literally running out of the way for the fourth goal. So thank you, Lewis, for your assistance there.
I didn't notice that. His arse has grown, hasn't it, Lewis Cook? I noticed that today. Very big ass on him now. Never used to have that at Leeds.
So we're on the fourth one, are we now? We're on fourth rate.
I think we've put the fourth one.
How did you celebrate that particular moment? I'm sure you were very calm and measured. Moscow, as you normally are.
Yeah.
Very civilised gentleman. Mm-hmm.
Not applauding. It doesn't make too much noise.
Well, I'd like to thank whoever is responsible for putting the safe standard in, actually, because...
Oh, is that one of your seats?
It's the row behind me, is the... So it meant normally a goal like that, you sort of get people fall on you. Not today. So it saved my neck, but it was it was great. Just leaping down.
Yeah, exactly that.
That's
just hugging everybody. Fucking hell! Just what a moment! What a brilliant moment! And it reminds me, the 4-3 Derby 1997, going absolutely bananas late on again. What minute did we even score that winning goal?
83.
Bloody hell!
Actually, quite. Because there were 5 minutes added on as well. Seven, it was actually quite a long 12, lot of game left.
12 minutes left after that.
And we managed it. That's what I was saying before about Wolf. He did really great. Like, some of the management of that was really good.
He's a good footballer, isn't he, his little Willie?
Joffy did well in the other corner.
Yes, he did.
When the Bournemouth player thought he got the ball off him and he just extended his leg a little bit and was like, no, I'm having it back.
I feel like I'm going to have to watch this one back to know what happened, really.
I just watched second half.
Yeah. Maybe skip to 2.5 minutes.
I'll watch highlights of the first and then all the second, maybe. Yeah. Oh, God. I bet the South Stand was good today because that reaction as well. It's so good when you have a comeback and you've got the away fans who've been giving you shit.
Yeah.
Because they'll have been.
Leeds are falling apart again.
Yeah.
A number of people have actually mentioned in the comments that they weren't entirely comfortable with Leeds singing it at the moment that they did.
I didn't like it at that
Tempting
point.
Fate and all that.
But yeah, it's nothing better than having people singing at you when they've been winning 3-1 and you get to fucking throw it straight back at them.
And you know, I mean, we've been in that situation as well.
Oh, God,
And you know there's just, you've got to stand there and take it.
It's horrible.
It's magic, isn't it? It's when you're on the side of it, I mean.
It's the best thing when you're dishing out and it's the absolute fucking pits when you've got to just sit and take it. So
Chris Toft is saying in the comments that he saw you before the game and you said we'd win 4-0. Is that correct, Michael? You were half right.
That's not... I don't think I said... I think he may have said 4-0 and I might have reluctantly agreed with him.
Google Maps says it's a 4-hour, 15-minute drive. That's a bummer.
Isn't it for like, you know, as we were coming around to half-time, there were boos in that stadium and then it got to 3-1 just after half-time and you thought this is right on the verge of flipping again. But by the end, it was absolutely rocking and I just loved that. It was proper adrenaline time.
The crowd really turned with that Greenwood goal, actually, because I don't think there was an awful lot of belief to that point. I think people were accepting we were losing.
Well, these, you know, goals change matches, don't they?
Yeah.
Isn't it just funny that just doing that, like a guy picking it up, putting it in the net, suddenly it changes the entire momentum of it, like a full pendulum swing.
Mm.
It's funny. What do we do now?
I don't know.
We got Wolves on Wednesday, haven't we? And then Tottenham, and then it's all over.
We'll beat Wolves. We'll beat Tottenham.
Well, this is it. Well, Wolves is our path into Europe. And then Spurs is our path to, I don't know, what do we do?
We're only 3 points off the relegation zone still. That seems unfair. I feel like we should be further away from it after winning twice in a week.
How many points are we off the Champions League qualification?
I will look.
I think we're 6 points of Europe.
I'll tell you now.
Right, okay. I saw someone saying
refresh
that.
Refresh the league table.
But I mean, that's the,
we're 12th.
That's the conference league.
Christ.
Yeah.
We're 12th.
We've very much pushed ourselves into that middle group, haven't we? That's the thing.
Yes.
Whereas it felt like for a time we were very much in the Wolves and Forest group.
What's the lowest we can finish now before the World Cup?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who's playing who.
We've put a 5 point gap between like Wolves and Forest at the bottom two. They're both on 10 points and we're 5 points off that. Then you get getting into 12, 13, 14, 14, 14, 15. We are.
Yeah, it's all very tight. I mean, between 18th and 9th, you've got 4 points. So it's ludicrously tight, really, is that whole section.
So we'll be 6 points out of 9. Like including Spurs in that, so assume nothing happens there. But without anything happening there, 6 points out of 9, that has to keep him in his job, really, doesn't it?
I didn't dare to dream of 6 points.
Well, when we go to Spurs and win, that'll be 9 out of 9.
Yeah, even better. And then we've got 5 weeks, one of which will be a holiday, and then a month before we play Manchester City to try and fucking sort this out, isn't it? Then do all this, like, all the stuff that he's not managed to do so far has to be done before we play Manchester City. And because the games after that, unless there's going to be, I don't know, another pandemic or some whatever's going to stop a season from now. But the idea at the moment is that after we come back after Christmas, is it's just constant until the end of May, isn't it? So there's no breaks, no messing about, no chances to kind of, oh, we need a reset, we need some time to get together. It's just these guys really need to know what they're doing. By that time, because there's still, we can't need to score 4 goals in every game.
But to be fair, it's
not sustainable.
We didn't need to score.
We're exactly where we were.
We didn't need to score 4 times against Liverpool to win it, did we? Twice was enough.
That's true. We are exactly where we were when we had Steve Nicol moaning that, oh, it's not sustainable. Trying to come in and got 3 goal starts, the other team, you can't be doing it. Nothing's changed.
And what a day. You know, even the bad, and it was really bad, 45 minutes of football that occurred, or even more that occurred between the penalty and Sam Greenwood's goal. That made the good bits better, I think.
So did losing to Leicester and Fulham made Liverpool better. So just got to treat everything like that. Every knockback.
Do you know what it is?
It's a little precursor to a happier thing that's going to happen soon.
Oh, it's because we still...
That's like a really badly written Instagram.
I will be going around everybody's kitchen and stenciling that on the walls between now and the end of the year.
I think what's confusing with, like, and today I guess is almost like a microcosm of the season, is that there was so much good stuff towards the end that followed so much bad stuff. And we still don't know what this season's about, do we?
No.
We've seen the worst of Marsh's football, but then we've seen the best of it. And today we've seen both of those things in one go.
If you did know what this season was about, I would probably try to drown you.
Yeah.
Yes, you were a witch.
But it was supposed to just be a nice, stable trot towards mid-table, and they're trying to goddamn kill us, aren't they? What a football club. Would you have it any other way?
Sometimes. Nice 3-0 would have been good today.
Returning back to my visit to Man City through the week, I came away from that thinking, do you know what? I'm really glad I'm a Leeds fan. Because they do like a, before the Champions League games, they do a big laser show with fireworks, with there's lasers on the roof, and they spell out like the names of the players on the pitch and stuff like that. Yeah, it looks really, really good as a spectacle. And I took my lad Sam, came with us, and he went, oh, that's good. And I said to him, I'm so glad they don't do it at Leeds. He went, yeah. It's like kind of good to see it here, but you wouldn't want it at your club because it's just razzmatazz, and we are pure grit, pure beast and grit. And I did come away from it just thinking, I'm so glad, like, I am a Leeds fan. You know, if that was like herbal sleeping tablets, then we are the heroine, aren't we?
Yeah, but doesn't that ultimately
spiral in and
kill you quite often?
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
So stick with the heroin, kids. No, don't even start it, would be my advice. But Christ, it's the line between a win and a loss is so thin at the moment, isn't it? That's the thing. It this week could have gone so much differently. Were it not for, you know, the fact that going back to the opening goal at Liverpool as well, ridiculous when you think back to it. So much has happened this week. Just, we should all calm down.
John's asking, am I expensing this Man City ticket, Dan? You seem to be seeking a lot of mileage from it. No, it just, I just found it very, 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 I'm not, I paid for it myself. I just found it very, very informative as a as an experience to watch a football match without the stress and talk about a counterpoint to today. Like, it was, I could have dozed off in my seat. You know, it was just so sterile when I was at Man City. But then today, I was like, I'm alive! I'm alive! Wild.
Yeah. City did score in the last stoppage time to win with 10 men today.
Do you know who got sent off?
Yes, it was Consuelo.
There we go.
And then the goal scorer was also inevitable. So I don't know, I wonder how they've gone with their, like, last minute winner, if it's just a bit inevitable when it's Haaland, if it's just like it's too predictable to be enjoyable.
Was it Haaland?
Of course it was Haaland, yeah.
Yeah, but there's no jeopardy. That's the thing, there's no jeopardy.
Well, they had to bring him off the bench.
Get Pat Bamford taking some penalties. There, you want a bit of jeopardy. Or Junior Firpo, or any of the people who missed.
But the genuine is that there's no real jeopardy at Fulham, at Man City, because even when they went 1-0 down in that game against Sevilla, like, so they'll probably bring on Kevin De Bruyne and win it. And they did. They did exactly that. There's no danger.
He's no Sam Greenwood, is he?
I mean, like, you're in danger of your life ending every time you go to Elland Road. Like, Man City just sits like an evening at the theatre.
We're horrible, aren't we? That's what the Bournemouth fans are saying on Twitter.
Good.
Which is funny.
Long way home, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a long way home. Let's wrap it up. It's hilarious listening to you three guys talk about winning when they just want to lose so Jesse gets sacked. Oh, fuck off. That's absolutely
don't tell our subscribers to fuck off, Daniel. No,
this is a free-for-all.
Oh, okay.
We absolutely do not want us to lose.
No, not at all. It's like, you can't pretend that the first half was good.
No.
The second half was brilliant, and it's been an amazing day. And like much like the Liverpool game, we can be thankful to Marsh for delivering us a brilliant day. But you can't ignore all the bad stuff as well, because, you know, you've got to keep an eye on it, haven't you?
I'm still really worried about this season.
But you're worried anyway.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, that's true. But I suppose I'm worried at... I have a general existential dread about relegation and stuff, but I think I'm worried about some quite specific tactical points at the moment.
Yeah,
which is fair enough.
Yeah, which is
like
fair
enough, we can't just keep having it that a ball to the back post is a goal.
But surprise, surprise! Football fans want football team to be better. You know, so, at certain things that they're bad at. That's
so let's fix some of the bad things.
Yeah, if we keep winning, brilliant, and then fix them when we're ninth or whatever. Great. Yeah. But it's when the problems kind of have us around 16th, 17th that it all gets a little bit. Anyway, it'll be fun watching Match of the Day again tonight.
It will.
Right, we'll wrap it up there then. Thank you for watching and listening. And if we make it through the week, we'll speak to you. Wolves, we've got the weekly show. Plenty of stuff to go out this week. We'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.